Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
If you're good and you leave your stocking out, Santa Claus will give you a gift. If you're bad, Black Pete will put you in a sack and take you to Spain.
That's such a great tradition.
That's what they tell the kids.
Also, the cooking gets in the way of this show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You'll see.
I think we're making pasta.
No.
You have pasta ingredients.
No, what do you call it? Egg wash.
I mean, I don't want to take it there yet. But
okay.
This is something I've been wanting to do for a very long time.
Right.
My favorite thing in the fucking world.
Vegemite. I love Vegemite.
Oh, good, because everything's got Vegemite in it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's your favorite thing in the world?
I love Vegemite so much. It's a treat for me. I won't do it all the time because I try to stay away from bread in the mornings. But my favorite thing in the world, first time to Australia, I got introduced to Vegemite. They come in the little tubs,
like
the travel tubs.
Yeah.
And I would put, someone taught me how to do it, white toast, butter, Vegemite.
Cheese.
And then, just butter, Vegemite. And I loved it so much that I would, anytime I ever see Vegemite, I buy it. My mouth's watering.
It's not hard to find. They sell it at Whole Foods. To my house. I got plenty. My favorite thing is when Americans come over, try some Vegemite.
Yeah.
They always put too much on you. It's a very thin.
It's a fine line.
You know what it is though? It's the stuff at the bottom of beer barrels, basically. It's yeast extract. It's the gunk at the bottom.
Yeah, but it was because you guys had rickets or something.
The British had Marmite, which is a different product. There's a big debate between Marmite and Vegemite. Marmite is a glossier, drippier product,
and
Vegemite has a matte finish. But it's yeast extract. It's the richest source of vitamin B of any food on earth.
That's like the magic hangover.
Yeah,
vitamin. So we're doing. Hey guys, brand new Something's Burning. My guest today, I'm so excited, Jim Jeffries, Forrest Shaw. They are fantastic comedians, but very good friends as well. They tour together. They've been around the world. You guys have been to you guys went scuba diving at the.
We've done the Great Barrier Reef. Yeah. We've done Asia. We've done all over the place.
You guys have done everything.
We've traveled Europe together. Yeah, we did Israel twice.
Yeah. Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
What are those crowds like?
They're great. We do it in the round. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you'd sell well in Israel. Don't worry about it.
No way.
Yeah, they're great. You get a bodyguard with a gun the whole time. And everybody walks around and goes, oh, you don't want to go into that place. The hummus is no good. This place, the hummus. And then you go, oh, yeah, I can taste all the fucking same to me, man.
That's crazy. Do you ever feel like, because me and you are Florida guys.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I remember meeting Jim for the first time, and there was a very European feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that has shimmered off the more you know him?
You know what it is, because you spent so much time in England.
Yeah, I feel culturally British more than Australian.
Feel British to me, and I know you're Australian. But there's also like nuanced things that you've said to me in the past.
I still call Australia home. Australia is still my home.
Sydney?
Yeah, Sydney. Yeah,
but you were just in Australia, didn't you? On stage, get in trouble for some of the words you said. Like the crowd, like gave it back to you.
Oh, I still.
You were saying like gas instead of petrol.
Yeah, I said gas and I said sidewalk. I got a thing about taking the bins out and I go take them to the sidewalk and they all looked at me like
the DMV. What do they call the DMV?
Fuck this guy.
Good God.
He's not Australian.
You're like, and then a black guy walks up to me. They're like, what the fuck? These two Mexicans come up and then we're playing soccer.
Yeah, you can't do Mexican references. They're like, nah.
Tequila and soda?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, perfect. We're going to be talking about edibles in a second.
It hasn't kicked in yet, so I'm all right. I just took it.
People will say to me, though, that I say things like I'm Australian sometimes. There's certain words that I picked up just hanging out with you. And I don't know what they are.
Like Aborigine.
the way this cunt works didgeridoo into a sentence is unbelievable.
Yeah, I throw a boomerang on.
Cunt's a word that if I'm down there for too long, I say cunt a lot.
I really do take credit for bringing it to America, because when I first got here, the comedy clubs were saying, you can do anything you want, don't say cunt. And then I just said it, and then other comics went to say it, and they went, but he can say it. And then he gets away with it. But I will say,
you liberated my cunt.
Yeah, I think I did liberate the word cunt to Americans, so you're welcome.
I won't go too hard because it's early in the afternoon, and we know you get a finite amount of cocktails. It'd be cool for when you turn 21, they're like, just so you know, 740. And you're like, what? Like, that's how many you get. 740 bottles. You just line them up in your house.
I didn't know that's a thing, a finite amount.
I mean, technically, your liver can only process so much.
Yeah,
I guess.
Can only have so much of it. Your life is like a computer player, right? And you get to put all the different stats into your computer player, right? So you go, you're going to be this muscular, this tall, this wide, right? And you get so many amounts of Big Macs. Yeah. And you get so much fried chicken, you get so much alcohol, and once you eat it, life's basically giving up.
You get so many times you can jerk off. Yeah. What do you think you're closer to? Your finite amount of drinking or jerking off?
What do you think you're going to end jerking off? You think there's going to be a period in your life where you call it a day? My father's 80, still jerks off on the regular. on the regular.
You have a different relationship.
I slowed down big time jerking off. I think drinking. I don't know why. I stopped jerking off recently.
Really?
I don't jerk off as much.
Yeah. Oh, I've sped it up. I've got a baby, though, so I try to find small opportunities in the house. When you're married with a baby, you just try to find a room or a closet. That's what you sort of do.
Yeah, no.
That's the worst place to be busted is in the closet.
I got busted by my mother when I was, I don't know, 12 or 13. Are we allowed to talk?
Yeah.
So I'm masturbating, and I've got the magazine. I wasn't even into the masturbating. I was just doing the prep work.
Yeah.
You know, I had the Playboy, I had my dick out, I was ready to go. Yeah. It was a hot summer's day, maybe, you know, in your measurement, 95.
Yeah.
Right? And I hear my mum pounding at the door, and as she opens my door, I pull the duvet over me and throw the magazine down the side of the bed in one motion, like that, right? She walks in, she goes, you should clean this room, it's a bloody pigsty. And I was like this. Yeah, I'll get right onto that, mum. And then because I was so, like, you know, nice, she went, what are you up to under there? I'm just trying to have a nap. Why are you going to duvet over you? It's 40 degrees, it's like Celsius, right? And I'm like, well, just fuck off, I'm having a nap. She started pulling on the duvet and I was holding it like this. There's not much leverage. And so I had to make a decision as she was, my erection was strengthening. And As she's pulling on the thing, I just make that thing, like, you know when you're losing a tug of war fight and you go, well, the consolation prize is to let go and these cunts fall over.
Maybe she'll knock herself unconscious into the wall.
So I just let go. She smashes into the wardrobe, falls down. I flip onto my stomach. My fucking 13-year-old sweaty ass was poking in the air. And she just said, you're disgusting. She didn't give me the whole, everyone does it, it's completely natural.
Disgusting.
She told my eldest brother, who we used to call the enforcer in the family, he's now become a cop, right? Because when we got too big for her to hit us, she delegated off to my eldest brother, right? She had workers, right? Anyway, she tells him, and he comes and talks to me and acts like I'm the only person who's ever masturbated in the family. You know when you're at that age?
And you're 13 and you don't know that other people have done it.
It was early 90s. That was the late 80s, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, we didn't say to our friends I jacked off or anything like that. No. We all used to sit around going, oh, I don't do it. You do it? No, I don't do it.
I thought it meant you were gay. And at one point I was like, I'm cool with being gay because I can't stop this. Like, it has control over me. Even if I think about it, I do it.
So my brother sat me down and he goes, look, hopefully this won't get out and we'll have to move.
What a fucking head fart.
My 20-year-old brother goes, yeah, hopefully we won't have to move. He goes, I only pray that granddad doesn't find out.
How fucking great is that? Because he's 20, and he gets to fuck with your head.
Yeah.
Anytime you see a moving car, you're like, man, I must have caught him. Oh my God.
And then like three Christmases later, you guys, remember when I did that? You know, I was like still worried about it. I was like, all right, it's a relief.
You just reminded me, I haven't thought about this in years, but my mom caught me masturbating one time and I buried this somewhere deep inside. Cause it was like, I was, you know, you did the old meat and potatoes using your hand, masturbation, use some lubrication, whatever, but then occasionally you would try and figure out some other way to do it.
Are your kids in the listening?
They're not listening.
Okay, so, all right.
Thank God. By the way,
I had this mattress. It was like a foam mattress and it had like holes in it, and I decided I was going to try and fuck the mattress and see if that worked. And
that's not masturbating, Forrest.
I know, but I'm just...
That's fucking a mattress, man. That's a whole...
What's the difference? I mean, it's still... It's not alive. Like that.
Okay, so fuck a dead goose, right?
Yeah, well, alive. I'm just masturbating. One time the dog is sound asleep, and I'm thinking...
It doesn't matter. Either right, way. So as I'm trying to put my dick in this hole in the mattress, I look out the window, and I make eye contact with my mom, who's watering the plants outside my window.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And then I just, you know... Stopped fucking the mattress and
got up. He just freeze like a soldier in a foxhole.
Yeah.
She was very upset. She used to fuck that mattress.
Yeah. Well, we didn't talk about it ever. I mean,
I think that's how you're supposed to deal with it. You just don't talk about it.
My brother caught me, and I had a whole lot of magazines on the ground, like an early version of Windows.
I totally where I buried that for some reason.
And he just walked out and gave
That's
my other brother, the non-cop.
That went under the radar, but that was fucking brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
Early version of Windows. First thing I'm making?
An onion.
No, blooming onion. That's like what you guys had every day for breakfast,
there's
right?
No one eats blooming. This is... this is a thing that Outback Steakhouse invented.
Is Outback Steakhouse invented? I thought this was yours.
No one eats a blooming onion. Bloomin' is a word like to substitute fucking or bloody or something like that.
Oh, for real? So we were eating fucking onion.
You go, this bloomin' guy over there and he's bloomin' wife and he's bloomin' this, right? And so, yeah, it's just, you're saying you're making a fucking onion.
Yeah, it's a bloomin' onion.
Yeah.
You ever have those in Australia?
I've had one at Outback Steakhouse because I had to try my authentic cuisine.
Yeah.
From my childhood.
Was it as good as you remember Mama making it?
I've been once to an Outback Steakhouse and we were doing a field piece out in Atlanta, and I was like suburban Atlanta, and I went to the Outback Steakhouse and I said, lady, can I have this, can I have that, can I have that? And the guy I was with went, stop doing the fake accent like that, right?
Oh my God.
And the woman went like this, I've heard better.
For real?
Yes, I thought, fucking hell, I must sound pretty weird now.
You know, one of my favorite things about Jim Norton is he has that character Chip he does.
Yeah. Chip Chipperson.
Yeah, Chip Chipperson. Yeah. And he created it with a girlfriend. He had a girlfriend and he used to play that character when they go out to eat. And the waitress wouldn't know. They would just think that girl's married to a fucking psycho. and they would make the girlfriend embarrassed, and that would make him laugh.
It was
horrifically embarrassing.
But she didn't want him to do it. Yeah.
She's like, don't do the fucking accent.
Yeah.
It's like if you just talk with like a stutter and a slur, like, where it's like, I don't look good. Cheers.
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 They go, you're not meant to cheers with water because it's bad luck, but no one's ever driven their car into a tree. With all their bad luck water.
Yeah. It looks like beer anyways.
So you go in like this, and you just cut little slivers. Mm. I'm sure you've seen this done a ton of times, like in the playground or...
What about the little tuft? You gotta cut that off, right?
Nope, you leave it. You don't eat that part.
So I had a routine years ago about a friend of mine, the muscular dystrophy that I took to a brothel, right?
Yeah.
I did a sitcom about it. I was just thinking about it when you were telling that story about Chip Chipperson, right? So his brother's got muscular dystrophy, and he would take him everywhere like this. And sometimes when they walked in, customer service would be rude to his brother and not acknowledge him and speak directly to his carer and go, what would he like this, right? So my mate would always put on a mentally challenged voice and go, what would you like? And then he would speak very clearly. So it was obviously like he was running him.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful dynamic. All right, so blooming onion.
So you cut it like this, and then you fan it all out. You put it in this bowl. You take all these spices. This is cumin. I don't want to give away my exact recipe. So cumin, this thing, paprika. My daughters and her friends organized all this. This is cumin. I'm sorry.
And you got like a cooking catchphrase, like the guy used to go, bam.
Yeah.
You've got to get one of them.
Yeah, it's the N-word. I do it like, oh. By the way, this show is so distracting. I know I'm going to get in trouble for it. I put a little pepper. That would be a great catchphrase. Like, if I could get on a...
Jeez, easy on the pepper, Elvis.
Okay, light on the pepper. So you stir this all up, and then what you got to do is, I got to make this, too.
You got to make the sauce,
dredge.
Right?
This is a dredge. You cook much for us?
I used to work in a kitchen in college.
Really?
So, but I mean, do I cook much now? Not as much, but I can cook. So, yeah.
That's milk?
Yep.
Some eggs.
This is a great way to find out you're colorblind. Kool-Aid. two eggs. This is the dredge.
Look at the single hand cracking.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
I got obsessed. I had a period of time where I lost a bunch of weight, and I got obsessed with cooking shows. Obsessed. And I used to watch them every night, and...
And that helped you lose weight?
Yeah, I don't know. It would give me the thing I wanted, kind of. You know, like, it was like, I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to explain. It's
like when I'm high and I've eaten all the food, I then watch a cooking show so I can experience other food in the front. Yeah, I get that.
I get so into. Have you watched the foreign language Netflix cooking shows?
No. Oh, the Mexican taco one. That
it's
one's very good.
So good.
Wait. What Mexican taco one?
There's one. You read the subtitles. It's a cooking show, but it's like they're a little bit trippy. They flash between the taco and then some psychedelic shots and then back to the taco.
It's super sexy food porn.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even like...
There's nothing worse than bad food and that's not good. And you go, I wasted the calories in that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I was just talking about this. I go, one of the reasons I don't cheat on my wife, not one of the many reasons, but one of the reasons I don't is because I'm always afraid, like, chicks look great until you get them naked and then you're like, oh, this isn't what I signed up for. Yeah. And then I wouldn't want to waste my marriage
if they look good naked, it might be a bad shag, you know what I mean? There's too many variables.
I'm so quick, I couldn't tell you if it was bad.
All these years?
Oh, yeah.
I was quick.
This morning?
I had a window of a month where I could really pick it out. And the rest of my life I've been slow.
I just dropped a fork.
I think it's in the flour.
Yeah, I might be in here.
It's in the flour.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I was so quick this morning. I swear to God, I was looking. So I had to work out with my trainer at 8, and it was 7:30. And I was taking care of her, and then I looked at the clock to see I'm not going to be too late. And when I got done, I happened to see the clock. It was 7:31. That's quick.
Well, I mean, that's like from start to finish. I mean, the first kiss.
No. I put in work before.
Yeah, but that's just having a wife you can do quickly.
I make sure everyone eats cake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Then that's part of sex.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I
should know. I fucked a lot of beds.
I don't know if it's me, but there's something super special about fall. It brings us together. And the best thing I have in my house is a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove. In my opinion, it helps creating those memorable moments for me easier than ever. I just cuddle up with the warmth and the comfort. Plus, it's portable. The setup is easy. The cleaning is almost seamless. And best of all, no smoke. I love this. The other night, me and Leanne went out to the backyard and we have a gas fire pit. It just doesn't bring you the feel of fall. The smell of a fire pit, and so easy to light. I'll tell you right now, with all the excitement going around this summer, nothing beats the fall. The outdoor in the fall is the best. Make the most of your outdoor time this season with a Solo Stove. Smokeless, portable fire pit. They are so easy to set up and so clean. How much more enjoyable is smokeless design? I will tell you this. I have asthma, kind of like more allergy-induced asthma. If I sleep around cats too much, I have a hard time breathing. And if I sleep around cats and I sit by a campfire, holy God, I don't know how the settlers did it. Campfires are unbearable. You reek of a campfire. The next day, all the clothes you have to go into a washing machine to be cleaned. But this smokeless fire stove, when we unboxed it, it was so easy to set up and start enjoying the fire like that. Upgrade your backyard with a Solo Stove fire pit and create story-worthy moments without fireside fumes. Stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow, which burns more efficiently. So little smoke, you're gonna wonder how there's so much fire and so much heat. You can cozy up next to it. It's the perfect catalyst for getting outside and spending more time with your family and your friends. You get a bottle of wine with your loved one and you are building lasting memories around a Solo Stove fire pit. Solo Stove fire pits are brilliantly engineered to be easy to use and they're built to last. So easy to light. Literally, I lit it first try with just a few bits of starter, and my fire was blazing within minutes. They're so confident you'll love it, they offer a lifetime warranty with a 30-day free return policy. That's it. You need one. I'm telling you right now, my favorite thing in the world is to take one down to the beach, light it super easy. I get a little backpack to carry it down with, set it up, me and Leanne, cigar, glass of wine, sunset, gets chilly, fire pits on. I'm telling you right now. So I got us the Bonfire 2.0. That, for me, is high-end. The other day, I had some friends over. We roasted a little brie cheese, had some peaches with some brown sugar, dipped it in. Spectacular. Prepare for your best outdoor memories yet and save big during the Solo Stove fall event. Plus, use the promo code BURNING at solostove.com for an extra $10 off. Solostove.com, promo code BURNING for $10 off on top of the fall event deals. Hurry, fall event deals end November 10th. The best time to prepare for growth is before the opportunity arrives, especially for online businesses. ShipStation sets you up for growth by directly integrating every shopping cart and storefront so your products are easier to find, easier to manage, and easier to get in the hands of happy customers. Don't wait until you're drowning in orders to find the right shipping solution. Upgrade to ShipStation today. I'm telling you right now, for us, the holidays are probably the biggest time. And when you get overwhelmed with orders, you are in the weeds. The greatest experience is to be set up to succeed. You're not leaving money on the table. Maximize your sales with minimal effort. Save time with consolidating orders, managing and automating shipping updates for your customers. Easy to compare carriers, rates, delivery times. Get the most out of every send. And here's what's great. You get the same discounts that are reserved for the Fortune 500 companies. Join the over 130,000 companies who have grown their e-commerce business with ShipStation. 98% of companies that use ShipStation for 1 year become customers for life. Ship more and grow more with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com today and sign up with the promo code BURNING for a free 60-day trial. Start today and get set up before the biggest shipping season of the year. That is 2 months free. Visit ShipStation.com. Click the microphone at the top and type in the code BURNING. All you got to do is dredge this in here. So we'll just do this. And we'll just, you want to cover the inside and just go like, ooh. And then you just get it all in there. I'm going to even take it like this and go like this a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Really get it in there.
Man. Cut it.
Oh. Are you going to make the sauce from scratch? Like the...
We're doing a Vegemite cheese dip.
Okay.
Happy as a pig in shit, man.
Yeah. So then we shake it all out a little bit, and then we're going into here. So it's a double dredge. So you go in once, and then you go in here, and kind of get it all nice and soppy into there,
right.
And then go straight back into here, and then we're just going. And I'm just going to, like, really make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this looks fucking good. I've been on a really crazy diet. After I went to the doctor, I kind of was like, I have control over a heart attack. I have legit control over it. I have to lose weight. So I've just been eating really healthy, but this is my cheat. This is my cheat, hardcore.
Wait, you're worried about, like, the doctor told you gotta?
No.
Oh, okay.
My blood pressure is good. My cholesterol is 97. I did scans of my carotid arteries and my heart. Yeah. I did this, and everything was good. Everything's good. Minimal blockage here, 1 to 15%. Which is not to worry about.
Oh, they scan that and they could tell you?
Yeah.
Because I just did the stress test.
I did the stress test.
We get naked in front of everybody and they put...
Yeah.
We never had these conversations 20 years ago.
I know. Can you believe it? Can you believe what we've turned into?
In 10 years' time, we'll be doing another cooking show like this. These stair lifts. I tell you. I got this necklace. If I fall over, the ambulance just comes.
I have such OCD that, like, the way you cook is killing me right
Why?
Now. Because you're just, everything's spilling and there's just flour.
I like to live by the seat of my
Do you do pants. The cleanup?
No.
Oh, okay, good. I don't have to do that as a guest?
No, you don't have to do anything good. But eat and enjoy. And just wait for that edible
That's
to
like
kick
the
in.
Credits just sweet, made sweet.
You. were you always a weed guy before?
No, I've become a weed guy. When I gave up alcohol, I took up weed, and I gave up alcohol March 10th, so a year and 4 months ago.
Oh, wow, you've been on the wagon for a while.
Yeah. It's been great. It's been really, really good. It was easy for a lot of it. I gave up. My wife was pregnant at the time. That wasn't the reason I gave up, but it was good to have another person not drinking in the house with me.
Oh, yeah.
And then I took up. I got in with weed in a big way. Big fan. Never liked it before. I had a few panic attacks the first few times I did it, but it's like smoking cigarettes. You got to fight through the bad times to get to the fun. And now I've broken
cigarettes
through.
Cigarettes are an acquired love. They really are.
I can control the weed now. I never used to be able to. For about the first few months, I couldn't. I think that's a problem that some people have.
You can control it?
I can now, yeah.
That's why I don't do as many edibles, because I remember we did edibles one time, and we ended up, like, sitting behind a couch, like, watching the Teletubbies from behind it. Like, we couldn't, like... Oh, no, but it was the Wiggles.
The Wiggles, remember that?
Yeah, the Wiggles. Because both of us were just like, all right, I can't do this. And so we were like behind the couch, remember? And we're just watching the Wiggles from behind the couch.
Yeah,
like that
was gonna come. Wasn't that mushrooms, eh?
Oh, no. That was not mushrooms. It was
Oh, Wiggles. You get the good mushrooms.
Yeah, my guy's disappeared.
Yeah, he's disappeared.
I don't know what happened. I got all of his last batch stuff, so I have a ton of them.
Oh, yeah. Was he the guy that I gave
you?
Yeah, same guy.
But he called me one day and he just goes, hey, like, I'm having a sale. What drug dealers have sales?
Yeah, I'm going away for 3 to 6 months.
I'm having a sale.
50% off. And he sent me this photo. A ton of mushrooms. And he goes, and then this is how, like, sketchy it was, too. Normally, he would just come deliver them to you, and they came in a FedEx envelope. Like, he didn't want anything to do. And I went back on, what's the app where, like, it's supposed to be safer.
The crypto app.
Signal.
Yeah.
The signal. And then I went to go say, hey, I got him. And it was like, he's no longer here. Like, he was in the wind. I was like, all right.
I'm sad that this guy's left our life.
Me too.
We have to find a new guy.
I'm like hoarding him.
I've got like a few left, but nothing to write home about.
The first time I got him, remember? I got him from this guy. And then I showed him to you. It's not enough. But it was enough. Remember?
It was not enough now.
It was enough because you don't remember the thing when we went to the casino.
Am I in the splatter zone? Is this
No. Okay, we had a legit flash fire yesterday. We should be fine.
Just you dumping that into oil, I feel... I'm not saying Mentos into Diet Coke level, but I'm saying something...
No, you should be totally fine. It's very seldomly do we have fire alarms go off and big flash
except for
fires.
Yesterday.
Except
for as recently as 24
hours ago. I was in a fucking place with Attell and Gilbert Godfrey, and I was trying to make fried fish, and I had a legit grease fire happen. And so bad that Attell was really uncomfortable. He was like,
on fire rolling around on the ground.
When we had some kid, Attell tried to smoke a cigarette, and some kid was like, hey, you can't smoke in here, man. In the middle of the show, like ruined the energy. Fucking sucked. This is the dip. One tablespoon. Oh, I got all my ingredients right here.
Yeah.
What do I got to do? Make the cheese dip. Melt the salt in a boss pan. Add the flour to make a little roux. You know what a roux is?
Yeah.
Serve for 2 minutes till it gets brown. Lower the heat to medium. Then add the beer. Ooh, can we put beer in?
Of course.
Okay. We should add a big Foster's oil can. Did you guys have Foster's? Is that what you use?
No, we didn't have Foster's. Yeah. It's a bit of a misnomer.
God damn it.
Foster's.
So what do you guys do?
Paul Hogan sold it to you as a foreign thing. No one drinks Foster's in Australia. They drink Foster's in Great Britain, and they think we drink it. They drink loads of it in Great Britain, but it's brewed in Scotland.
Yeah.
And it tastes different, and it's not a great beer. But we have, in Australia, we have very proud sort of state beers. So if you live in Sydney, you'll have Tooheys, and if you live in Melbourne, you'll have Carlton, and Brisbane, you'll have Forex. So we're very regional with our beer tastes.
And what's that little? You get like a smaller beer in Sydney, remember?
Schooner.
The Schooner.
And then there's a Middie.
Yeah.
A mini's even smaller than a schooner. We have different measurements.
Makes you feel like you're not really drinking, but you are. Yeah, you just have like 10
of those. What is it, Shandy?
Yeah, Shandy. That's Sprite and lager.
Yeah, and I was like, oh.
But that used to be the whole, like, you know, if you said to a bloke, you'd go, oh, I'll have a Shandy, people would go, woo, like that. You know, people would be quite mean about it, right? So the Shandy is something you have in private where no one else knows about it. You don't announce it very loudly.
Did you ever see Patrice over in London when he was doing those runs?
I did a TV show once with Patrice, like a stand-up spot. We were both on the same show.
And, oh, for real?
I met him a couple of times. I got to know him better on Opie and Anthony.
Oh, that's right. Your Opie and Anthony appearances were fucking legendary. I mean, just legendary.
There was one where I was on a lot of drugs through the
whole thing. I remember that one. I remember watching.
That one haunts me every day.
Right?
Yeah, my mate Andrew Maxwell from England.
You guys came in on ecstasy.
Well, yeah, what happened was my mate, who I hadn't seen for a long time, who was one of my best mates in Britain, he's an Irish comic.
And, really funny, Andrew Maxwell.
Yeah, really, yeah. Andrew Maxwell, very funny. Yeah. People in the UK know him. And he came over for St. Patrick's Day to do some St. Patrick's Day show at Caroline's or Gotham or something like that, right, where they were just having, yeah. And so he had one night. All I had to do was the radio the next day. And so I said, all right, we'll go out and we'll take some drugs and then we'll taper off at the end. You know what I mean? And then I'll just walk into the studio, do a spot, then I'll get back. But I'd pop the ecstasy tablet 40 minutes before I went into that recording. I was drunk as well. I was not in a good state.
But he was dressed like a leprechaun.
Yeah, he was dressed like a fucking leprechaun.
He's got an Irish accent.
He's got the funniest man on earth, and he could hardly talk. He was just sitting in a corner. And it's like that whole thing that I used to talk about, how the Irish don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day. It's a stupid American thing where you all dress like leprechauns. And it always bothers me when Americans say they're Irish. I'm Irish, I'm Irish. And like, yeah, not really. I've met Irish people who are really actually Irish.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a weird thing that we do.
But you never mention, Americans never mention, oh, I'm English. And there's just as many of you that come historically from England as you do from Ireland, but you all very proudly say Irish, but you never say I'm English. Why is that?
I think ultimately we don't see an identity in being British or English. Mm. We see an identity in being Irish.
Yeah.
We see green, we see red hair, we see oppression.
Yeah, the struggle.
I think it's the underdog, right? I think it's the underdog thing.
It's the underdog,
too.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the one that conquered the world.
And they're known as fighting.
I learned about imperialization from you guys. Steve Hughes.
Yeah.
He was, you remember him?
I know Steve. I lived with Steve. I remember
that's right.
Steve.
Yeah, you got kidnapped with Steve.
Me and Steve lived together. We had a house break in, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great fucking story. Yeah. God, that was a great fucking story. But yeah, everyone right now is like, what's the fucking story? Hey, you gotta find it. Yeah. That's the fun of the internet. Yeah. He used to tell me about imperialism and colonization.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd never heard those words. I was like fucking 34. And I'm like,
know that the Canadians are part of the colony and Australia is part of the colony.
Never realized any of that. Yeah. I never realized the phrase, the sun never sets on the British Empire.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I was just like, okay. Because it's always foggy.
You know who gets away with murder though is the Dutch. Like
Dutch were fucking animals.
Since I've traveled the world with Jim, like, and I would, you know, anytime I go anywhere, you'd read a plaque, you go to a museum, you say anything, and the Dutch got everywhere that the English did and did just as many heinous things, but they got away with it because I guess then they just, like, legalized weed and prostitution.
I always sell well in Amsterdam, so good work, Dutch.
Yeah.
You do what you got to do, and I'm not upset about Black Pete either. I think it's a bit of fun.
It's over.
You do what you got to do, Dutch. Do you know about Black Pete?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the first time I saw... of course, it's tone deaf. For a country that has legalized prostitution, legalized drugs, and then it still does blackface...
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Aggressive blackface.
Yeah, yeah. So Black Pete is like Santa Claus's helper.
Helper.
And then he became friends. But if you historically go back, he was his slave. And so in Holland...
They said that the reason he was black is because from the chimney.
No. Now they've moved to Chimney Pete.
Oh, yeah. For real.
The reason he's black is...
Chimney Pete?
Yeah, he's gone down the chimney. He's got soot on him. But also, it's kept his clothes pristine. His hair's gone curly. Who knows how this happens? It's obviously the chimney soot that's made this happen.
There's only going to be spray tan Pete.
But they've held on tooth and nail for this tradition of theirs. So in Holland during Winterfest or whatever, it's not Christmas as such, but they have Santa Claus and he rides on a horse, right? Yeah. Black Pete's his mate. If you're good and you leave your stocking out, Santa Claus will give you a gift.
Oh my God. Please.
If you're bad, Black Pete will put you in a sack and take you to Spain. That's what they tell the kids.
Oh, that's so fucking great.
And they're like, there's nowhere worse than Spain.
There's nowhere worse than Spain.
Why are they all dressing up like the bad guy then? Well, you would think they would try to dress up like Santa.
Because he's a little bit naughty.
It's more underwear blackface.
We did a field piece on Black Pete on the Jim Jefferies Show. Google. It was the first field piece we did. And I interviewed a bloke in blackface who was just, he couldn't get...
That's what he said. He goes, he's a little bit naughty.
Yeah, he's a little bit naughty. Black Pete does little naughty things, like he stands on tables and stuff like that. And I go, talks too loudly in the cinema? And he goes, yes, yes.
Yeah. You know Black Pete.
Oh, man, yeah. It's a hell of a thing, Black Pete.
Vegemite goes in now.
Oh, yeah.
And I put a good helping because I think we all like
it. It smells good already.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And then we do all the spices. They go in. And we're going to slowly put in the cheese, and our sauce will be ready. We can let it sit here.
So this is like a Vegemite queso.
Yeah. You can make Vegemite mac and cheese for your kids.
I've done that one, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for myself. My kids, although they have the Australian passport, they're American.
What's that like? Your whole life you knew what Americans were, and now you've got them.
I've got one. I've made one that can be the president. I've seen his marks at school, though. Probably not, but I got one that could become the president.
Yeah, right?
I got another one. Yeah, we'll see how he goes as well. But my kid, it's weird to have a child with a different accent than you. Where you're like, my kid has an American accent. I look at him like, what are you doing? You sound weird.
Yeah, my wife has a really thick accent, a southern accent. You heard it. Mm. And it's weird. I think it's got to be weird when my daughters go down to Georgia and spend time with their family. My wife's accent gets thicker, and they used to make fun of it. They go, but they were idiots. They're not idiots. They were just young. But they'd be like, I'm from the southern.
Well, my son, he does the impersonation. All right, Dad. And you're like, Dad, you sound like an idiot. But then sometimes he'll be playing computer games with his mates, right? He'll be online playing whatever, and you can hear them all talking.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, run around here. No, shoot that guy. Shoot that guy. All right, bro. All right, mate. You have to listen.
No.
And then he'll go, all right, mate. And his friends are like, what are you seeing mate for? He goes, oh, I'm Australian. Because everyone wants to seem exotic, like the Irish people.
Yeah.
So he goes, I'm Australian. The Australian accent comes from drunk Cockney.
Really?
So Cockney is the working class of Britain. They came out, and then it was all their alcoholics. And that's where the Australian accent comes from.
Cockney's the best, one of the
Cockney's
best.
Cockney's the best one, but Cockney, right? A guy that speaks like this, all right? Yeah. And then you slow it down and slow it down and slow it down and slow it down and slow it down.
And then you got Australia.
It's the drunk bloke.
That's great.
I read an article.
This looks fucking great.
How much Vegemite are you putting there?
I put a lot. Put a fucking fair amount.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Vegemite and cheddar cheese are kissing cousins of flavor.
Yeah, they love each other.
Yeah.
They sell Vegemite-infused cheese now.
But wait, kissing cousins.
Yeah.
Kissing cousins, I don't know.
I don't think that makes sense, because they shouldn't be together, but that's good that they are together.
Yeah, that makes sense,
It feels good that they are.
Yeah.
Like two hot kissing cousins.
All right, we are dredged. You ready? All right. We may not have enough oil in here. We'll flip it. We'll flip it.
Before you put that in, did you think that was deep enough?
Nope. I didn't think this through, Jim.
You don't have the fire, though.
Guys, I think I might have just shaken off all the good stuff, too.
To be floating, right?
You can just do one side and then the other side. We're going to get all of it. We'll put a little more oil in there, maybe that'll... It's always good to add oil in the middle of a frying session.
Yeah, because that'll heat right up, yeah.
No, it's still going. I thought the bubbling might have stopped.
You can crank this bitch up a bit. You want to cook it. That's what I've learned. If you cook things over oil too hot, you burn it, and you don't get... Don't worry, we have another dish coming. We have lamb lollipops with a Vegemite.
Oh, I love me some lamb.
Oh.
I live with a vegan. I don't get this stuff at home.
For real?
No. My wife... I still eat meat. I don't give a shit. I order whatever food I want or whatever like that, but my wife would give me hell for eating lamb if she saw me doing it.
Really?
Yeah, she doesn't like it. Because they're cute, smaller animals. Because they're babies. They're baby sheep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, mutton's the old full-grown one. The babies is what
Oh, so no one, and no one eats mutton.
No, mutton tastes like dog shit. You only
but the baby's tastes good.
You it's want tough, the yeah. you want some early sheep. Deal. Yeah, it's the pedophile of foods.
Is anyone else pouring sweat? I am fucking hosed down with sweat.
That's what a lot.
This is like that scene in Indiana Jones where he's picking up the gold temple thing.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, it's looking good, actually. I think we want it to crisp up even a little more. I think the more you cook it, the better it is.
I don't think you can overcook it.
Yeah, I don't think
you can. Have you read the calories on a blooming onion? It's.
I think it's the sauce mostly.
It's mostly all that flour
it's
put on.
It's mostly flour, yeah.
Did you just throw a little piece of onion in there?
Yeah, just to see how long it needed to cook.
Oh, okay, yeah. Best onion.
You're just hungry.
Just a little something extra for me.
He thought, that's not enough. There we go.
You call that an onion? Was Crocodile Dundee a big thing when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've tried twice on two different projects to make Paul Hogan play my dad. I once had a conference call with him, and we got close, but it didn't happen. He's going to do a sketch. And I wanted him to play my dad in my TV show, and in the end we got George Lazenby.
Who's George Lazenby?
He was James Bond for one movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for real?
Yeah. He was in between Sean Connery and Roger Moore.
Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Majesty's Secret Service. Never acted before. Bullshitted his way into the job. It was before IMDb just told everyone he was an actor in different countries.
Looking pretty good, boy.
It was very good.
Looks very good, right?
That was the right time. You didn't flip it too early.
Yeah. This looks really good. I'm blooming surprised.
And does it open up more, do you think?
Or no,
it,
you
got to tear it. Oh, no, but it is, though. Little ones are pronging off and stuff. It's like popcorn.
Yeah, you just go, oh, look at these guys. Open up, guys. Find your friends.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, this is turning into a
pizza. How often do you make this for the family?
Every Monday we do blooming onions.
Really?
No, not at all.
I'm a bit high. I took that a bit seriously.
What if I go like this and go?
Moving it again for you guys. I just fell. I got it.
Oh, yeah. Now you're basting in the oils.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some stuff
there. There you go. That looks like you know what you're doing now.
Yeah, right? You ever see those guys cook steak and they baste it in
butter
the whole time?
Just a spoon,
And you're like, and then you try doing it and your butter turns black. And you're like, why isn't it working for me?
Sprig of rosemary.
Yeah, it's not easy to do that.
Hey, Forrest, tell us a story about the time you saved that guy's life at the bottom of the ocean.
I used to be a marine biologist before as a comedian, and an entry-level biologist, and about, I think it was like 2 weeks after I got the job, we were out on a reef in Miami and scuba diving. There was a guy snorkeling that was like leading us along. It doesn't matter what we were doing. We're doing biology shit. And he started floating down to the bottom. I could see him. He was sinking down to the bottom. And he had passed out, shallow water blackout. You know what that is?
Yeah, of course.
So you almost get to the surface, and then your brain shuts off because too much carbon dioxide. And then you keep breathing, but you're not breathing. You're just sucking in water, and you sink to the bottom.
Yeah.
And I pointed it out. The guy that was closer to him went down, got him off the bottom, brought him up to the surface. We're doing kind of the Heimlich to get water out, and brought him on the boat. And then the Coast Guard flew in there and took him away. He lived. He lived.
Really?
But that was like my second week of that job. It was pretty, when something like that happens, you don't really, in the moment, you're like, whatever, we're just trying to keep this person
alive. How have I known you for 15 years and I've ever heard that story? I should ask more questions.
Really. Well, I have that problem with people, I talk so much.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a commendation from the mayor of city of Miami, and I had it framed and it was just in a closet. And it's not something you're gonna put on your wall, like, yeah, I saved the dude's life, you know, whatever. Mm. And then when the last house I lived in, I decided, just as a joke, I would put it like where if you were taking a shit in the guest bathroom, you put it on the wall, and so people would read it and be like, holy shit, this guy saved somebody's life.
And a commendation from the mayor? That's fucking insane.
Yeah, and so I did that, and I thought people would think it's funny, and then people would just come out and be like, you saved a guy's life? I'm like, yeah. Hey, you didn't think it was funny that you were taking a shit and I put that there for you to read? And then I would have to tell a story. But yeah, no, it's Martin Roach. He's alive. He had kids. He got married, everything. But
he's alive because of you.
Well, have you checked on him recently, though?
No.
COVID might have been hard on Martin.
It's about COVID. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was funny.
Gentlemen. All right, should we try it?
Yeah.
Here, I'll give you a spoon if you want to spoon out some of that cheese dip. The Vegemite cheese dip is what sells it.
You just rip into it, right?
Ooh.
How do you get it out?
And you just rip it.
Yeah, you just rip into it. Here, take a knife and cut it.
Just burn my finger.
It's going to be pretty fucking hot, I think.
Here. Right, you just put a bloody spoon,
fucking in, spoon in it. Sorry.
You're killing it.
God damn it. Fuck.
There you go. There hey, this is self-cleaning spoon, man.
There we go.
Spoons. I'm going to try the cheese.
I chopped a piece there for you. If you want to, there, that one's chopped.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Chop it. Chop it.
Vegemite and cheese.
Oh, I have
it. Oh, it's Vegemite and cheese, like the sandwiches you make.
Yeah.
And technically, it is.
Yeah.
Right up your alley.
This is what I had for school every day.
There you go.
That flavor.
Yeah, fuck yeah. This might stuff something that hides very easily.
Need a spoon here.
Here, you need a spoon?
Yeah, just to get some cheese, some Vegemite cheese.
Wow. That's fantastic.
That really is good. So I've wanted to add Vegemite to more things and sneak it into my kids' diet. Oh, wow.
I use the same spoon.
Yeah. And what's great is the onions didn't lose their crunch. They're still got a little bit of crunch, but they're still soft enough. Oh my God.
Mm. No, the Vegemite's great for it because it's like, it's got that like really rich, like flavor to it. But with the cheese, it's like I think you're all right, kissing cousins.
Yeah. The cheddar and the Vegemite complement each other the same way butter complements Vegemite. Vegemite's so fucking good. Mm. How much money do you think they make?
Well, if I might be wrong, but they used to be Australian made, but then they got bought. They're still, I think, made in Australia, but they got bought out by Kraft.
Oh, for real?
So, how much does Kraft make? I reckon a lot.
God.
I reckon they do all right, Kraft.
Hey, can we take this oil out of here, Pete? So I don't think I'm cooking on this again, right?
How can one onion get so big?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It expands out. It's like me when I get to a hotel room. Like I just get there and then all of a sudden I open my bag and next thing you know, I got my backpack's opened up and it's all over the thing. And next thing you know,
so you put everything away each day?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I put it in the drawers. I put it in the drawers because—
Like a serial killer.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, no, if it's one night, I'm not gonna put it in the drawers. But if you're there like 2-3 nights, I like to put everything like underwear, socks, everything in there. Because mentally it makes me feel more stable, I don't know, otherwise or something. Otherwise, I just feel
I'll stay in a hotel for a month and put anything away.
Next, I'm gonna make lamb lollipops with a honey Vegemite reduction. Jim was a has had a lot to do with my career, oddly enough.
How?
You did a special, I think it's on YouTube. I saw it at Edinburgh. You were just kind of walking around the crowd and drinking a beer. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Holocaust?
Maybe. Is that out?
That one was never on YouTube or anything. That one's only on YouTube. It was on Showtime for like 3 viewings and then it just...
I saw that and I liked it so much. Your energy was so great and I was like, I feel like my energy sometimes is a tad bit forced. I think that's what we were doing in the States at the time. It's like we were all watching Dane Cook murder with... Not saying Dane Cook was forced energy, but it was very prepared, very like meticulous and like repeating words and you were just very conversational. And I was like...
Slovenly, some people say.
Some people would say that, yeah. But, and that was the first thing I saw where I was like, because I wasn't drinking beer on stage. I would never have a beer on stage. I would never take a beer on stage with me. Never drink before the show, never drink during a show. And then I watched that and I was like, oh, you can have a beer on stage. You can totally have a beer on stage. Like, I don't know why I thought that rule was as it was. And then the other big, big thing in my career, I don't know if I've ever told you this, was that Red Rock show we were supposed to do.
Right.
It was a game changer for me because I didn't think, because when you had to back out, you had to pull out because of the baby or something.
The baby, yeah.
And I was like, there's no way I can sell 10,000 tickets. But I was put in a situation with like, well, you want to try? And I would have never tried I would never tried. And I really enjoyed the challenge. And I sold 10,000 tickets, and I was like...
I would have been smart just to do the show with you, because then I could have claimed to have sold the 10,000 tickets with you. But in reality, it would have just been you.
No, it was great, and it was like a big milestone in my career where I started going, oh, okay, I'm cool to do arenas. Like, I would have never wanted to do arenas or any of that shit, because I was just, like, scared. What was the thing that turned the corner for you in Australia? Because I remember you said, yeah, I don't really sell in Australia.
I started selling out in Australia. I don't know. I think maybe the gun control thing sort of gave a pop. But I tried to write a Shark Attack
bit because of that gun control thing. Because anytime anything would happen, any school shooting, you would go viral. Yeah. You'd be all over the internet. And I was like,
I see what they do. Shark Attack.
And I was like, Shark Attacks are popular, right? That's the best Shark Attack. I could write a great Shark Attack bit.
Stabbing bit.
Every time.
Oh, it is terrible when you turn on your Instagram or you wake up in the morning and then you see you're trending and you're like, why have I gotten so many followers overnight? Yeah. And you go, oh, must have been a school shooting. It's not a nice way.
Must have been a school shooting.
Yeah.
School shootings, I mean, there's an upside to them, but...
But isn't there that thing, too, like, where you're from this country and then the gun control bit maybe is, like, what launched you here, and then they were, like, they claimed you, right? Like, you're ours.
So it was really me airing on Netflix in Australia for them to see me.
Oh, for real?
Yeah,
by the way, veal smells like shit.
Oh, they legit did well over there. Like, I started to sell theaters, but I wasn't doing arenas until the gun control thing.
Really?
Veal lamb.
Is that lamb? I'm sorry. Yeah. Lamb smells like fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Baby sheep, baby.
I filled up on the bloody thing. Oh, fine room.
It's okay. We got.
I got two shows tonight. I'm gonna be.
Cook these 2 minutes per side, and then you get medium rare. Do you guys like your meat medium rare?
Or medium rare. What are you?
Whatever you guys want. Whatever is easiest.
I'm a garbage can. You meant to have lamb medium rare.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Where are these sheep from? What continent?
These are Australian. These are Australian.
Australian?
Yeah.
Is Australian lamb?
Yeah,
Get the fuck out of here. It would have to be frozen to be Australian lamb.
Right? Yeah. Frozen.
Australian lamb. That's the wrong one. Have you ever had a Ferg burger in New Zealand?
Yeah, in Queenstown, right?
Yeah, Queenstown.
I went way in line, but I've been there twice.
It's so fucking good.
Because there's a huge line, though. You just waited in the line, or you had somebody go get it?
What's a Ferg burger?
It's this place in Queenstown that's like this famous burger place. Yeah. And because there wasn't a theater there in Queenstown, that's why you didn't do a show there. Yeah. But when I stayed on my own and went around New Zealand, I've been there a couple times. It's like one of the most beautiful cities, like towns, like ever on this lake. And it's this famous burger.
It's gorgeous. It's a crystal blue lake. Anxiety Attack and giving crystal blue. It's that blue.
And just mountains around it, and it's beautiful.
It's fucking, I mean, I like, stunning. Hey, you've been to New Zealand, right?
I just got back from New Zealand. I've never been to that town.
But Queenstown is Queenstown, and then we went to the end of Glenorchy there and went on up the river and it was great. But there's this burger place that's supposed to be the best burger. I don't know. Supposed to be one of the best burgers.
It's fucking.
But the line.
What do they do that's so special on the burger?
I mean,
I think it's lamb.
So that you were probably there because it's like extreme sports, right? Like there's a bridge, that bridge across the river you bungee off of and stuff like that. It's weird that all extreme sports were started in New Zealand.
Well, they don't have theme parks, do they?
But they're just, they don't seem like extreme roller
coaster park.
It's a small population, yeah.
I love, when did you decide to be a comedian? Because were you a marine biologist and then you're just like, I'm the funniest guy in the ocean?
I was a marine biologist, and you know what it was? My grandfather had passed away, and when I was looking at all these photos of him, he was one of these guys that just did everything, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was like, I just said, let me make a list of the things I said I wanted to do so I'm not like dying and like I didn't do shit. And that was like the first thing was comedian. And I just
really?
Yeah. Started doing it, and you know, it was fucking terrible at the beginning, and then figured it out and shit, and then just quit being a marine biologist.
Yeah. Did you need another drink?
Yeah, if you're gonna have one, I'll have one, yeah. You were talking about a boat earlier.
Ooh. Here, can you make the drink?
Sure. I'm gonna come around there.
No, you make it over here.
Okay. Need ice.
Here you go. So you had a boat out here for a while, and you were like, yeah, it's not boating culture out here, oddly enough.
Well, there's nowhere to boat. It's like cliffs. Everything's like rocks and cliffs out here. And there's no, like in Florida, there's all these like inland waterways.
Yeah.
You want some too?
Give me a splash.
And I had a my mom had passed away, and she had a boat that was my grandfather's. So then the boat became mine.
Yeah.
And I was a marine biologist. I've been boating my whole life. I've boated before I drove. I don't even know what I'm doing as far as mixing this.
Just give it a couple squirts. There you go. Okay. That's good. Yeah.
And then I said, you know what? I'm going to bring the boat out here. It's about 20.
Oh, I got so excited that Dave told me. First kind of boat. Yeah, I was like, oh, we're going to be fucking boating every goddamn weekend.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought.
And then he's like, Forrest got rid of the boat. And I was like, what? He was like, it was too much trouble. Wasn't
it cost
what
too
we
much
thought.
Money. Like, you
no
know,
one likes getting a boat.
You know what it is? Everybody else likes it when you have a boat. Everybody, when I got rid of her, I was like, why'd you do that? I'm like, oh, no one gave me any gas money. Everyone just wants to go out there. And like, I mean, not that I even asked for it and stuff, but I didn't even mind taking my friends out.
Yeah, I went out at once. I don't believe I gave you any gas money.
That's okay. Yeah.
I feel bad now. I didn't even
think about
it.
You're a little bit different. You're a little bit different.
I thought it was like a special boat. Yeah, ran by itself, now, a magical boat.
You're a little bit different. I think you know that we've done a lot of stuff together. This was just people that are like, you got a boat? Hey, I want to film something. I want to do this, whatever.
Oh,
like,
God.
You know, that kind of shit. And then even if a boat's just sitting around, it costs you money. And then it would just like go show up, and they call me the marina. They're like, your boat's leaking hydraulic fluid.
It was the same boat that Dexter had.
It was the same. It was the same version of it.
Wait, for real?
Same as that Dexter boat that he used to dump the bodies off.
It was an open fisherman center console. Yeah. But you can't, all you can do here is like, I mean, the first time you go out, you see a seal. If you're from Florida, you're like, holy shit, there's a sea lion.
Yeah.
Then, and, you know, third, fourth time, you're like, whatever. There's nowhere to go. You just anchor up outside of Long Beach and you, like, you know, drink a beer and you're just, it's not fun. But I think boating culture here is, like, different. You know, they have that saying, like, you know, the best days with a boat, first, when you buy it, when you sell it, those are your favorite. But you're thinking of getting a boat?
So I was sitting for a period
just
of time.
Just rent a boat.
Going in from Florida, no one rents boats. You buy a boat. You either buy a boat.
Because a rental boat is like a piece of. The rental boat will break down on you, and you'll be on the middle of the ocean with something that says "rent a boat" on the side of it.
Yeah, you want your own fucking boat. So I'm on a plane one day. Segura's taking flying lessons or some shit. Rogan's taking archery. Everyone's got a hobby, and I got no fucking hobby. And I just decided to. I go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna get a boat. I'm gonna learn how to sail, or I'm gonna get a boat. I go, fuck sailing. I just wanna get out there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a boat. And so I go to Leanne. I was like, first of all, I was like, I wanna get a sailboat. There's this Australian couple that I follow, Sailing La Vagabond. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm gonna get a
boat. Have you ever sailed?
I won the Florida State Regatta, so I can sail.
Okay.
I can sail, oddly enough.
You won a regatta? Yep.
Well, it's not as fluffy as it makes.
I don't even know what a fucking regatta is.
Was it like a little? It was a small boat, right?
A little tiny one. Yeah, with the little fucking. You pull the.
What are they called? I forget what they're called now.
Little sunfish, sunsails.
Yeah, sunfish, or the pram.
I think these are done. Mance is gonna buy a boat. I'm living on a boat in. I'm gonna put these on.
Living on a boat, stuff though, because you got to shower. So. I carry a bucket with your shampoo and conditioner and flip-flops and go shut.
Do first for us.
Yeah. because it seems like a good idea first, but then when you can't stand up ever
either. Well, it seems like a great idea because then you go, this is where I can live wherever I want. I live on Catalina for a week.
Yeah.
I live in Oxnard.
Pirates.
Yeah, pirates are real.
Well, yeah, of course they're real.
Yeah. Not in this country, but yeah.
But that's
sure, yeah. There's not a lot of security on boats either. You get a little master lock from Home Depot. Okay, all my belongings are in there. Hopefully nobody can snap that lock, you know? Yeah,
Holy shit.
But it is, there is the idea of being free, and I get that too. But you gotta know what you're doing if you live on a boat, you know?
He doesn't.
I don't know.
You have no idea. You just thought it'd be, okay. Well, you might want to read a book.
You're moving by yourself or your family or who?
Well, he's
by himself, yeah.
Do you think it'll be hard or easy to take women back to the boat? Do you think they'll be in
I think it'll be flocking.
Do you think they'll be happy about
it? I'm sorry! Did you just say they'll be flocking to your boat?
Well, the deck is great. You bring one back to the deck and you're like, you want some champagne, whatever. And then you're
shit in the little cabin. Women, I know a little bit about women.
Yeah.
They don't like to shit in close proximity. It bothers them.
Well, not a catamaran, there'll be one ahead on the other side.
Not only that, it's like when you have to have sex, you're like, I gotta lower the dining room table and you grab that mattress from where you slide it.
Yeah, that's
like
a fucking nightmare. Yeah,
unless you get a catamaran, though, is actually nice because you have the cabins in the front of the hulls.
Yeah.
Those are nice. Man, if you get a catamaran, you can afford that. Yeah.
And they'll be flocking.
They're gonna be flocking, man.
So if I'm ever single again, I'm just gonna stand near your boat and wait for the traffic to come by. That's
good. The marina's gonna have to write you a letter. I'm sorry, sir. There's too many women coming here, but we've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. A lot of women come, none of them leave.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is a Vegemite lemon honey reduction. Mm. on baby lambs or baby getting goat, baby mutton,
or baby guys.
What's the difference between New Zealand and Australia?
About 19 million people.
Really?
Yeah, there's only 3 million people in New Zealand, a bit more than that. And there's about 22 million people live in Australia.
Yeah.
So how many friends did you lose to predators as a kid?
Well, I'll tell you a joke, right? So one time... This is an old school pub joke,
yeah.
Right? This is like, I don't think this is fine comedy, but it is good. So I'm in a taxi in England, and the cab driver's up the front, and he goes, "Where are you from, mate?" And I said, "Oh, I'm from Australia." He goes, "Oh, fucking wouldn't move there. Wouldn't move there. All those fucking spiders and snakes and sharks and all that type of stuff." He goes, "I had a mate, he got married, and then he was on his honeymoon, and he got eaten by a shark. They said he didn't suffer much. He was only married for a week."
You know what it is? I don't think you...
I like it.
Australians...
Well, the point is, no, I don't know anyone who's been eaten by a shark or died by a spider or been eaten by a snake. I don't know anyone.
I've said this a number of times. Germans get killed in Australia at a measurable clip, correct?
I don't know the stats on that, but there are certain tourists that come over and think, "Oh yeah, I'll just have a dip in here.
Yeah,
how bad can it be?"
Germans, because they don't have a lot of predators.
They get killed in Miami a lot too, though. The Germans.
Germans fucking die everywhere.
They have a lot of guilt left over.
Yeah, I remember when I was growing up in Miami, they just kept getting shot. The tourists in Miami.
Well, that was because they changed the laws on
rental cars right?
Because of that.
Yeah. Still, there's access. You can't get rid of those. But yeah, it's that way they couldn't identify they're in a rental car.
It's probably just karma, you know, for all the shit they've done.
Yeah.
It's funny, they don't teach us stuff in the States. Like, they never really taught us about the Treaty of Versailles the way they should have. You know, like, now that I follow a lot of history, you're like, "Oh, the Treaty of Versailles is the reason we had World War II, not the Germans." Like, the Treaty of Versailles was the fucked up part. And so...
You're talking to me like I know what the Treaty of Versailles is. I didn't learn about
Treaty of Versailles.
I know what it is. I've heard of it. I study it, but I don't know why is that.
It was basically... does this look okay for this?
I'm looking at it.
And I think they're cooked perfectly. If not a little overcooked, but I just didn't want to poison you guys. You guys, gentlemen.
All right.
Help yourself. You got your little party plate.
I want to put a bite in. I'll still keep. All right, you're going to cut them in half.
You can cut them in half.
A different plate I'll put it on? Yeah. I don't want to get that.
Yeah.
What are these called again?
These are lamb lollipops. And they are Vegemite, honey, and lime.
Hey, look at the cook on that. Look at that.
Whoa.
Look at what Birdie Boy did there.
Mmm. Great flavor. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just gonna cut that off. Sweet babies.
Sweet babies.
So Treaty of Versailles.
Oh, so the Treaty of Versailles. So they come in. I think it was Woodrow Wilson at the time. Oh, I made you guys dessert too.
Oh yeah?
Vegemite cheesecake.
Damn,
bring it in. Actually, to be very clear, my daughter and her friends made you dessert. They made a Vegemite cheesecake, which you take this thing and you go like, what do you do? Pop it this way and then you remove it.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Holy dooly.
I think earlier they were trying to hide it so that I wouldn't have seen it when I got here, and I would never guess it was a Vegemite cheesecake anyway.
Vegemite cheesecake.
What's the crust? It's like Vegemite.
It's Oreo and Vegemite.
Is it just a regular cheesecake?
My daughters and her friends made an Oreo Vegemite cheesecake.
Is this an invention of theirs, or they got it like...
I think they got the recipe offline. We're going to find out.
I like Vegemite. I like cheesecake.
Me too. I'm curious why they chose to add Oreo in it, but...
You got to have a base.
Yeah, you got to have a base.
Friendly uncles.
Ooh. Whoa. Or the Oreo base. It is an Oreo base. Oreo, you knew what you were talking about. And then...
What do you think, Jim?
I think this will be all right.
You're predicting it?
Yeah, I've had a lot of cheese and crap. I don't know if I've had a dessert Vegemite dish in my life.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Please, let me get you forks. enjoy. You know what it is? I think I realize what it is with me. I like making people happy. Like, I like making people have a good time. So that's why I enjoy doing this show. So I like people going, oh, that's actually really good. Oh, that's good. It's like a servant's heart.
Have you ever done one of these where it didn't turn out good?
It's a very long...
Yeah, yesterday. It's not as cold as it can be. I've never had cheesecake this warm.
It's all right, though. It's airy.
Yeah, no, yeah. It just needs to chill a little bit more, but it's still good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's got, like, you can taste a hint of the Vegemite.
I think the Oreo is good.
I need more Vegemite. The Oreo is a star.
Well, thank you guys for doing this. I am so excited. I've been wanting you guys on for a long time. And I really want to hang out, me, you, and the three of us and Dave. Yeah. Like, I really wish, because that's kind of like the dream team.
For sure.
Yeah.
We could do it without a podcast, just like regular people.
No, yeah. Why not make money?
We had Dave on the podcast. We had a barbecue episode on the podcast.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. And he
him and Dave are doing a podcast together now.
We just started one.
For real?
It's not out yet. But
what's it called?
The Mermen Podcast. Because we're watermen.
Both hardcore watermen.
Yeah, we're watermen and we're of the water.
Of the water.
Me and Forrest do one together. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that with Jim Jeffries. Yeah, we have experts on, and Jim doesn't know. It's Jim's dream job because we have an expert on any topic. He's not allowed to know what it is, so he's not allowed to prepare. He just shows up, and then we ask him a bunch of questions on whatever the topic is.
See, then I don't have to book anyone. I don't do anything, right?
You just show up.
Yeah, and then I just say everything I know on that subject.
Like, what subjects have you guys had done so far?
We've done 100 different subjects.
Really?
We do everything from World Wars to cheese.
We did one on Watergate. The more specific, the better, because then you learn more about it. Because we usually have a professor or someone's written a book on it or something like that. And the whole idea is, like, let the experts tell you what the real answers are instead of what we do nowadays and pretend like we
like our last. Last episode was tornadoes. But then, we've done an episode on James Bond, and we've done an episode.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's really fun. Yeah,
I can't wait. I haven't listened. I'm gonna start listening.
We've done 120 episodes now, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's me and Jim, and then the other co-host Kelly Zabilski. She's on there as well, and she. Yeah, it's a fun. It's a fun episode because you actually learn something, and then.
And that's what you kids want to do, right?
But it's funny too.
You don't want to just be entertained. Wouldn't you like to learn something?
This was a great fucking episode. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys doing this.
All right,
I fucking love you guys.
Hey! Something's burning. Something's burning. Something's burning. Something's burning. Something's burning. Something's burning.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.